Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Markman Madness for a Tuesday. My name is Mark Heffernan. Normally we're on Mondays from 5 to 6 Pacific time. Today, switching to Tuesday afternoon, and a really beautiful Tuesday here in Bakersfield. Our producer is Mark Mancini of Mancini Media. I am Mark Heffernan. You can get in touch with me by going to my email sites, sportswrapnet at yahoo.com or markheff20 at gmail.com. Well, yesterday was Mark Mancini's birthday. He's only 25 years old. Today is my brother Dennis's birthday. He's only 30 years old. Just kidding. Mine's next March. So a lot of birthdays going around. Unfortunately, I am a L.A. Rams fan, as everybody knows. My favorite player obviously got hurt Sunday. He's going to have ankle surgery, Cooper Kupp. He'll be out for a minimum of 4 weeks. He'll be placed on injury reserve tomorrow, has surgery tomorrow. But most likely, he may not play the rest of the year because their team kind of sucks this season. And why would you come back with two or three games left in a year where you're under 500? At any rate, he'll be out at the most minimum 4 or 5 weeks, which means he'll miss about 5 games. But he probably won't return. Now, that was a high throw by Wolford in that game. I think he made about 5 or 6 high throws to his receivers. He doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. I know he hasn't played for a while. And the question is, why has he been the Rams' backup for 3 consecutive years? At any rate, the pass was about 7 feet over Cooper's head. I thought the DB kind of low-bridged him, didn't go for the ball, went for his feet, and he rolled. Remember there was a game against San Francisco where Cooper Kupp, on a third down play, kind of rolled his ankle, but was okay for a while. But he's out for an extended time. So more targets, more reps for Robinson. Obviously, the tight end Higbee. Jefferson, who just returned, had a couple of receptions the other day, including a score, and Skowronek. So we'll see. And hopefully Matthew Stafford can return for the Rams. He will be reevaluated tomorrow. I don't want to see that Wolford guy again. I mean, how bad can it get? Another offensive lineman for the Rams, I guess, has blood clots. He's on IR. Another guy's injury. So, you know, you won the Super Bowl in February, and then guys would come out ready to play the following year, then you have injuries to your key guys. One of the prime points of winning last year is the fact that your 3 best players, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford, were injury-free. They were healthy the entire year, and they played very well. So it hasn't been the case. At any rate, our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. We will only be on until 4:30 p.m. Pacific time today. Bobby Dandridge. Let's see, the Milwaukee Bucks turned 75 today, a great player for the Bucks, played with Kareem back in the day. Bobby Dandridge, 75. Okay, let's see, what do I have here from Calvin from San Francisco. Your Los Angeles teams all suck, Niners, Seahawks, race now. My LA teams all suck. The Dodgers don't suck. They just don't win the World Series. The problem with the Rams is that they won the Super Bowl in February. Remember that, Cabby? They won in February, and they have injuries. The Lakers not doing very well, have a bad roster, blame it on the general manager. And the Niners are playing well, but remember, they're just 5-4. Are they going to make it to the Super Bowl? Are they going to, you know, wave their hands in February? We'll see. I think they have great talent on the team, but still, they're only 5-4. Minnesota looking great at 8-1. Philadelphia did not play well last night. They dropped to 8-1. Those are still your top teams in the NFC. The top teams in the AFC, well, Kansas City is one of them. Is Buffalo the other top team, or is it Baltimore? We'll find out. 347-205-9631. Well, she is a play-by-play sportscaster. She broadcasts for the Visalia Rawhide, a minor league baseball team of Visalia, and she's also a producer with the NFHS Network. She is Jill Guerin. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, you and I have met. We saw each other last weekend. We were doing that Buchanan-Clovis North game at Clovis High, and also the previous week did a football game. I'm doing a game Friday between Liberty High and Bakersfield and Buchanan at Buchanan. In fact, right now I'm across the street from Liberty. I'm announcing a girls' basketball game in about, I guess, an hour and a half. Their opener of the season. I watched some kids playing soccer to my left. My son used to play at this park called Liberty Park when he was playing soccer at Liberty. And the reason why the Liberty girls and boys soccer teams are practicing here is because the football team is practicing for the game against Buchanan. And they don't practice on the baseball fields of Liberty. They just go to the park. So that's the scenario. But, you know, one thing about you, Jill, is that you're a good producer and videographer. You did video for that game that we did in Sanger. As Sanger won that particular ball game, and then you produced the game between Buchanan and Clovis North last Friday. At any rate, you have the distinction of broadcasting the Arizona Diamondbacks Major League Baseball game. That must have been fascinating. What was it like preparing for that game?
Right. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we're talking about how I help produce high school football games, and I also do professional baseball. So it's just interesting to see what your career can take you. But preparing for the Diamondbacks game was a little bit difficult because it's so much easier to broadcast a game when you know the players throughout the entire season, and I broadcast it in September. So the usual play-by-play guy knows these guys like the back of his hand. For me, it's a little bit different where I know the organization really well because I've worked for their minor league team, the Visalia Rawhide, for 4 years now, and I knew some of the players coming up from that. But it was a little bit different where I actually reached out to one of the Dodgers broadcasters, Tim Neverett, and asked him for assistance and just some notes that he has and whatnot. And it was a lot of fun, obviously.
Well, Mark Mancini interviewed Tim on one of those programs, I guess, about a month and a half ago. So that's kind of cool. I listen to Tim quite a bit, doing the radio and TV broadcast. So you said it was difficult preparing. I know what you mean when you don't know the players. Baseball is a slower game, as you know, than football or basketball. I know for myself, doing football or basketball, when I've seen a team play at least one time, I'm much better in the second half or definitely the second game that I do them. Now, Liberty Buchanan this week, what helps me is the fact that I saw Buchanan last week. I see highlights of Liberty Buchanan, but I actually saw Buchanan broadcast their game. And think about Liberty, as I watched like three of their games this season because I did some of their junior varsity games, I announced their games, so I watched them for the first half, both three games. They had a running clock in the second half, so I just left. So I know a lot of our players at Liberty because my kids went to school here, and I do basketball and baseball here. And so many of these players were on the team last year, so it should be a good one between Liberty and Buchanan. But take me through, did somebody call you up or email you? How did you get the gig for the Arizona D-backs on that particular day? Who contacted you?
It was a 10-month process where the vice president of broadcasting, Scott Geyer, with the Diamondbacks, I reached out to him when I was broadcasting games in Arizona for the Arizona Fall League for Major League Baseball. Wow. And we got lunch. He gave me a tour of Chase Field in Phoenix, and I asked if there'd be an opportunity to broadcast a mock game where I don't broadcast to anyone except myself, and I record it for my own resources to send out to other teams. And he said, oh yeah, of course, but I'd actually love you to get on air. And I'm thinking, okay, this guy's crazy. There's no way this is happening. This can't be happening. And we just kept in touch and figured out that it ended up working out really well for me to come down to Dodger Stadium. With me being from LA, it was an easy commute. It was after the Rawhide season, and as it being a doubleheader, the broadcaster could use a break from the 18 innings he was about to broadcast that day. So it just really worked out perfectly.
You are from Southern California. What sports did you play growing up?
A little bit of everything. Obviously baseball, softball. I did soccer and volleyball, but once high school hit, I focused in on softball and continued to play that into college.
Where did you play in college?
I played at Emerson College. It's a small D3 school in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's why you like Boston teams. What do you think of the Dodgers pursuing Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop for the Red Sox? I guess they have a feeling that Trey Turner is not going to resign with them, so they're looking at Xander Bogaerts more than Correa from Minnesota.
Everyone should be looking at Xander Bogaerts, and the Red Sox should be looking at him too, but they might not be.
Do you think they are?
We'll see. I can't predict the Red Sox. I've tried to predict the Red Sox for plus years, and I can't.
Do you think it's a question of money? Because they spend money on players. Think about the Red Sox. They seem like they have like two or three down years, and then they're great when they're very good. It seems like the situation for the last 10 or 12 years is not like they're every year they're winning like 97 to 105 games. They're great for a couple of years, and they drop down. They get rid of some people, and they kind of build back up. Remember, the Dodgers got the Mookie Betts from them, but they've always had a very good organization and a winning organization. I'm a Yankee fan, but I respect the Red Sox. You know, I'm an LA Ram fan. I respect the Niners. One thing about the Niners, they've always had a great organization. Niners this year have some awesome players in their team. I mean, if they don't make it to the Super Bowl, to me, it's very disappointing for them. I mean, Garoppolo is very consistent, has weapons around him. You have C-Mac and you have Deebo Samuel, have a great defense led by Bosa, a very good running game, just a very solid team. So to me, they would have to be disappointed if they don't make it to the Super Bowl, or at least the NFC Championship. Now, they're only 5-4. They look good on paper, and they're playing well right now, but still they have a long ways to go. But going back to Boston, what are your thoughts on the New England Patriots? Seems like they're kind of hanging in there in a very tough division, AFC East. They're the bottom team, but I think they're 5-4. And so you look up, and they're almost right there, but they face off some great competition in that division, the Patriots.
Well, it's funny because, you know, maybe 10 years ago, yeah, of course, the New England Patriots have been fairly dominant for quite some time with the Brady era. But
yeah,
even with them being dominant, the AFC East wasn't a very difficult division for quite some time. I mean, all of a sudden the Dolphins are good. All of a sudden the Bills are fantastic. Not something that I was used to growing up. So the Patriots, they can't be mediocre. They need to be excellent in order to make it in the playoffs. I mean, it used to be expected that not only they would make the playoffs, but they would get the first round bye. We'd be upset if they didn't get the first round bye. Now it's just pray they can make it into a wild card spot or something.
Yeah, for many years it was New England and everybody else. Joe Guerin is my guest on Markman Madness on this Tuesday. I'm Mark Heffernan. Our number 347-205-9631. Sal from Germantown, Pennsylvania. Eagles gave the Skins that game last night. Turnover City. He and Mark Mancini still call them the Skins. I'm cool. I call them the Commanders. I kind of like the name Commanders, you know. That's pretty cool, Commanders. But those are old school guys. They refuse to go with the norm. They refuse to change. Still call them the Washington Redskins, whatever like that. I thought it was a great win for them. And Heineke, I think he's been like about a game or two over 500 when he started for the Redskins. They seem to have brought them new life. Now, a guy like that seems like he'll play well for two or three games. Then he kind of goes in a downward trend and he brings somebody else. But for one or two games, he brings the team a lot of life. And I thought he did it last night. And they played very well, one of the best games of the year. They ran the football very effectively, I think around 200 yards. So that was a good victory for them. Joe Guerin, my guest on Markman Madness, talked about the fact that you broadcast an Arizona Diamondbacks game. What's the difference between broadcasting a Rawhide game and a D-backs game? Still baseball, obviously, major league level, the players are better. But I know that the Rawhide played a great stadium, but the ambiance is much different, isn't it, Jill, at a major league ballpark?
There's a lot of small differences that we could harp on where the angle is different. I actually have an overhead view at Valley Strong Ballpark, formerly known as Recreation Park in Visalia. I'm kind of down behind the umpires where I can't really see the ball crossing the plate very well. It's difficult for me. But for me, the most difficult part is the pitch clock, because at the minor league level, there's a pitch clock. So I'm used to that with my pace of play, especially for radio. It's very important to get that down. But at the major league level, there wasn't a pitch clock. There aren't a limited amount of pickoff attempts. So it was a little bit different for me there. Now, those things will change. That rule is going into effect this year for Major League Baseball. So if I get more games, it won't affect me as much. But I think that was something that made me feel a little bit more uncomfortable than I expected.
Do they have a shift in minor league baseball?
No, you have to have, well, in AAA you can, but AA and lower, you have to have two men on each side of second base, and you have to have both feet on the infield dirt.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to have a shift in major league baseball this year, right? They're going to eliminate the shift?
Mm-hmm. Eliminating the shift, yeah. Including the pitch clock. I like the pitch clock. I think people are going to be upset about it because people just like to complain about things, but it doesn't take away from the game.
I know.
It's going to make things exciting. It'll be okay. The pitchers will have to adjust. Some batters will have to adjust, but it'll only take a week before everything feels like normal, especially after spring training games. They're going to be perfectly fine by opening day for Major League Baseball. The shift, I really enjoy as a broadcaster explaining the shift and describing the shift. And also as a former player, I love the shift because it brings in a whole nother aspect of strategy. Now, I understand they want more hits. They want more offense in the game. So I get the change. I'm not as on board with it, but I don't have very negative feelings towards it.
Well, you know, I primarily played shortstop and second base and baseball in high school and also beyond that. I play a little bit of third, but, you know, I think when I'm playing shortstop, I should be in that general area and not be playing second base. And if I'm the second baseman, I shouldn't be playing in the outfield because I feel like it's softball. I played slow pitch softball after that and never really interested me like baseball. And I was the type of guy, they'd always bring, you know, four outfielders. I tell the guys, I don't need you around me, man. I don't need your help. Mm-hmm. I can cover center field fine. You go somewhere else, Rover. I don't need your help because I'm probably going to run into you coming in for a catch. Now, like I said, in baseball, I play infield. In softball, I play outfield because my arm's a little bit too strong for the infield. So I'll have to run around out there. So, I mean, everybody has their own opinions about that. And hopefully, with the shift being eliminated, it will help raise the averages of some of these major league players. I mean, you look at so many teams in major league ball, I'd say there's one-third of the players hitting .210 or below. The Dodgers have a few like that. So, Darren, I wanted to ask you, you know, you played baseball, softball, a lot of sports growing up. Got the opportunity to broadcast an Arizona D-backs game. You broadcast for the Visalia Rawhide for 4 years. It's a great experience. Who were some of your mentors professionally growing up? I mean, you're still young now, but I'm talking about from the high school level to where you are right now. Who are some of your key mentors professionally?
I had a mentor who's my neighbor. Her name is Stacey Soggin, and she was more, not a sports mentor, but she works in the TV industry as a director and assistant director for TV programs. And just having her brain to pick to understand the entertainment industry was really important. But as I went through college, I really gained an important mentor in Tim Neverett, who is one of the broadcasters for the Dodgers. I first met him during my internship with the Red Sox in 2018, back when he was the broadcaster there, along with Joe Castiglione in the Red Sox radio booth. So both Tim and Joe have been huge mentors for me. I even consider Tim a friend, where I'm also friends with his wife. I watch their dog when they go out of town. And I'm also friends with Tim's son, Matt Neverett, who broadcasts for the Las Vegas Aviators, the AAA team of the Oakland A's. So very close with their entire family. And I've been lucky enough to have him as a mentor for the last 4 years.
Who have been some of your funniest coworkers? I thought about that once in a while. Maybe some people you worked with in the past or that you interned with. Some of the people you thought were just kind of crazy. They were good on the air. I mean, they were talented people. They're kind of crazy off the air.
Probably mainly baseball players I'd have to talk about, because at the Rawhide,
okay,
I don't have a partner. I broadcast all nine games or all nine innings by myself. Certain players are just chaotic, especially with the age that I have now at single A. The youngest we have is 18 and the oldest is 24. So I have college age guys that I'm broadcasting, and just their antics can be a lot of fun, especially with traveling on the bus with them.
Do you enjoy broadcasting all nine innings of a game, or would you like a co-host once in a while? Because, you know, in TV and radio now, it seems like they have two and three people in the booth a lot. Of course, that's football. Basketball is different. Do you enjoy doing it solo?
I think it's a good learning experience. I think it's really important for me to get as many reps as possible as a play-by-play broadcaster. But when I broadcasted for the Diamondbacks game, that was my first time ever having a color analyst as a play-by-play broadcaster. I've been a color analyst before for softball and baseball games, but I've never had a partner as a play-by-play gal. So I think it was really important. It is important for me to get a few more reps like that. So I'm open to both. You know, I've enjoyed it, but when the Rawhide had a losing season and it's 100-plus degrees in Visalia and there's no air conditioning, yeah, it'd be nice to have someone to talk to.
Well, what was it like, the experience broadcasting the game with a co-host? Did you guys work together very well? Was it difficult?
It was easy. Tom Candiotti was the analyst, and he is
okay,
amazing.
Yeah,
he's obviously an amazing baseball player, and He has sons who are only a few years younger than me, so we got along really well, and he's really someone that made my MLB debut so seamless and amazing and easy because he was really good at his job, made my life easier.
What kind of responses did you receive from after you broadcast that game for the D-backs?
Really, really good ones. I mean, Derek Hall, the president and CEO of the team, texted me the next morning saying I did a great job and he'd love to have me. The vice president, Scott, who gave me the opportunity, told me that I really held my own and he enjoyed the broadcast. Everyone in the Diamondbacks org was really supportive and welcoming to me. And I had some former players even text me saying that they listened in and they really loved it. So I do love being a part of the Diamondbacks organization. It's a family atmosphere, and I've enjoyed my 4 years with them.
How many women do you know that broadcast baseball at the minor league level?
There's kind of a complicated question. Right now, actively, there are two of us who are the lead voices of a minor league baseball team. It keeps getting smaller and smaller. When I was hired, I was the third woman to be a broadcaster for the minor league level. Later on, there was an assistant hired on for another team. And then the next year, there were, I believe, five of us total, if you include assistant positions. But right now, there are a ground total of two of us who are full-time and two others who are part-time.
You're a pioneer.
Yeah, shouldn't be in 2002, but I am.
No, really. And so what do you enjoy the most about broadcasting sports? Have you done news in the past? Just curious about that.
Yeah, so my major was in broadcast journalism, so I didn't specify in sports with my major. I did minor in sports communications. But I've done news with things I had to do for classes, a little bit of internships here and there. But sports have been a huge part of my life. I've been playing sports since I was 6 years old. And it's really helped me get through some difficulties of life. Like being a teenager is not easy, and playing softball really helped me get through that. And I think I have a very unique perspective as a broadcaster because I'm also a former athlete at a high level. So I can connect with these guys a little bit differently. And also being a woman, they connect with you differently as well. They don't view you as a threat. They view you almost as a sister. Some of these guys who are young and it's their first year in the United States, they call me mom. So it's just a very different dynamic that I have. And my favorite part of broadcasting is just their stories, because all of these guys are so unique. And I think people just don't understand what these guys go through to be able to be a professional baseball player.
Some of these guys call you mom. You're not that old.
I'm not that old, but they call me mom.
Well, trust me,
I help them enough where I am their mom in the United States.
You call me grandfather, something like that. Joe Garrett, my guest on Markman Madden's here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer, 347, our number 347-205-9631. So you produce some events for the NFHS Network, and you perform videography. Do you like that aspect of the business?
I do love that part. I think for me, it's not broadcast or bust. It's baseball or bust. Baseball in particular has been so important to me, and I love other sports. I really do. But if broadcasting came to an end, I would want to be involved in baseball somehow, some way. So I do love learning producing and, you know, camera work. I really enjoy producing, actually, a lot, where that's something that I had my college professors tell me that I'd be really good at. So that's something I keep in my back pocket. But, you know, I'm only 26. It's not time to give up on the broadcasting dream yet, especially after getting my MLB debut at this age. So just something to have in the back pocket.
Would you like to get in baseball management?
You know, it's funny. I had one of the coaches of the Diamondbacks ask me if I ever thought about coaching. And I've coached softball before. It's not something I ever thought about until he mentioned it. But, you know, I think it'd be tough to have to start over, basically. You know, I'd have to start off as an intern or as an assistant. And I probably would have to switch organizations because I'm too close with these players at the Diamondbacks level. I don't think it would be a beneficial area for me. So I'd also would have to switch teams, which would be uncomfortable for me. So it's, again, something in the back pocket. I always thought that I would go into softball coaching later in life if broadcasting didn't work.
Well, maybe you can coach on the side sometimes, be an assistant or do some drills. You know, you never know about camps, things like that, whenever you have time. Joe, Darren, thanks a lot for being on Markman Madness. But before you go, how can people get in touch with you?
Absolutely. For those of you who want to connect, all my social media, Instagram, Twitter, is Jill Guerin, J-I-L-L-G-E-A-R-I-N. And same for my email, jillguerin@gmail.com.
Hey, thanks a lot for being on a program today, and thanks for being really flexible with your scheduling.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Take care, Jill. Bye. You're listening to Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. I'm Mark Heffernan on a very nice Tuesday. I have a basketball gig coming up tonight. So Liberty girls against Shafter, season opener for both teams. Liberty has some quality talent. I would know that quality talent specifically if I actually had their roster. For some reason, I'm really slow getting up the roster. I have Shafter's roster, but that game starts at 6 p.m. at Liberty High School. Also on Friday, I'm doing Liberty against Buchanan at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Buchanan in Clovis on Friday. Thursday, something just came up yesterday, I'm broadcasting three junior college men's basketball games at College of the Sequoia in Visalia. And from what I heard, the middle game features, the top two-ranked teams in the state or the top two-ranked teams in Northern California. So three games at 3, 5, and 7 Thursday in Visalia at COS. That opportunity came up yesterday. And then the football thing kind of confirmed that maybe 2 hours ago. Liberty and Buchanan, I figured I was probably going to do that game. Last week, Jill and I were part of the broadcast crew for the Buchanan win over Clovis North by the score of 37-24 at Clovis High. This week, they're playing at Buchanan Stadium. And Saturday, I have some announcing for youth football, so a very busy week indeed. 347-205-9631. Ray from Boulder, Colorado. A lot of teams are sucker. They're sick this year. Look at my Broncos. That guy in San Francisco, very annoying each week. Block him, Hef man. I know what you're talking about, the guy in San Francisco. He is annoying. I don't know if you've ever listened to his program. But I don't mind if somebody disagrees with me or they're passionate about their team. But I think being passionate about your team is different than being a jerk. But at any rate, if he wants to call, it's fine, or text me questions, it's fine. I don't really take it personally. I don't play for the Rams, Dodgers, or Lakers, so the fact whether they're good or not really has nothing to do with me. I don't compete for their teams. I follow them. I follow those teams for a long time. I mean, those have been my teams for decades. So I didn't jump on the Rams bandwagon when they won the Super Bowl last year. So when you're a fan, you go with the good. They won it all last year, came through in the clutch in the playoffs. This year they haven't performed well. They've had injuries to key players. This is not happening. That's why it's so difficult to repeat in pro sports, because you have to keep the same players. You can't lose them to free agency or via trades, and guys have to be healthy. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford, the key players from last year, were healthy the entire year, and they played very well. This is a different season. Things change very quickly in pro sports. Other teams come up. But there's a lot of teams that are playing great this year that will not get to the Super Bowl. They won't win it. Only one team will win the Super Bowl. Only one team. Will it be Kansas City? Will it be Buffalo? Baltimore? Philadelphia? Minnesota? I don't know. San Francisco? Who knows? I think there's several teams that have a chance to win it. But remember, we're only 9-10 games to the season. So they play 17 games. Then you had a playoff, so we will see what happens from that standpoint. Thank you so much for listening to the program today. Next week, I'll be on my regular time at 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. I'm Mark Heffernan. You can get in touch with me by going to one of my email sites, markheff20@gmail.com or sportsrepnet@yahoo.com. God bless you. I will talk to you next week at 5. Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.